Okay. I'm guessing before, everyone outside could hear me. So finally, a reading from the book of Ruth. Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My first experience of a friendship that crossed a cultural divide happened at university. Ian was from Gibraltar, and one of the first things that I noticed about him was that when in conversation, he would switch with great ease from English to Spanish and then back again, and he was totally unaware that he was doing this. It was very hard to keep up with a conversation. As our friendship deepened, we spent a great deal of time together. And on one occasion, we were in London walking down Oxford Street, one of London's busier streets, when Ian reached out and held my hand. I was somewhat taken aback by this, as this was not something I had ever experienced with my English male friends, and I quickly withdrew my hand and asked him what on earth he thought he was doing. Well, Ian looked at me rather quizzically and replied, "Well, I'm walking." With the passing of time and after visiting him in Gibraltar, I realized that for him in his culture, there was nothing unusual about holding the hand of a friend when you are walking. Some years later, another friendship began that crossed a cultural divide. And this time it was with Christoph. What is this moving about all the time? Christoph, have you set me up with this as well? Okay. Christoph was a student from a ministerial college in Germany, and he was visiting my ministerial training college, and my tutor asked me to look after him, which I was happy to do, and very quickly we became very good friends. Christoph's English was excellent. My German was non-existent. And so one day he suggested that perhaps the best thing for us to do would be for us to both speak in what he said was our second language, which of course would be French. I had to tell him, to my shame, that English was my only language. And so Christoph persevered with his English. No such language barrier, well, almost no language barrier, existed when I met John and Susan Rogers. But we have certainly spent hours talking about the cultural differences between our two nations. Their friendship has opened the doors for me to some incredible experiences, and not least the one that enables me to stand here this morning with a wobbly lectern. With each friendship, oh my goodness, this thing. With each friendship I have been privileged to share, my awareness of the world has deepened. I have learned to see the world through different eyes. I have learned that I do not have to be right or to be wrong if I am to journey with someone else who sees things differently. I've learned that to listen, to respect, and to understand, as well as to be listened to, respected, and understood, can be an enriching experience. Friendships that cross the cultural divides need work, but can bring great joy. Something of that is told in the story that we have heard this morning, the story of Ruth. The book of Ruth has always interested me because it seems to me that it is a story of cultural sensitivity sitting alongside a great many other stories where there is little or no appreciation at all of other cultures. Given that the main character in this story is a woman, a non-Jewish woman, I'm constantly amazed that the story made it into the canon of Scripture at all. But thank God it did, for it is a treasure that is rich for us to explore. The story of Ruth, which only has four chapters, so you will easily be able to read it tonight before you turn the light out, begins in Bethlehem. A famine stalks the land, and Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons Mahlon and Chilion migrate to the land of Moab. Elimelech dies, and the two boys marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. 10 years pass, and the boys die, and the three women are left alone. And all of this has happened in the first 5 verses. Naomi decides that there is nothing left for her in Moab. And given that the famine in Judah is over, she feels it is time to return to her homeland. And so she sets out with her two daughters-in-law, but on the journey she asks them to go home. She is thankful for all they have done, but the time of parting has come. But they tell her that they wish to stay with her. Naomi is insistent and tells them that she has nothing more to offer them, and reluctantly Orpah returns home. Ruth does not. A third time, Naomi presses Ruth to turn back, but Ruth had made her decision, a decision that will have significant consequences. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Naomi has no more to say, and the two of them journey on together. In making this decision, Ruth displays courage, faith, and love. She will now settle in a strange land with a new culture, a culture in which she will be the outsider. And she is prepared to do this out of love for Naomi. And you can see what happens next by continuing to read the story later. But I do not think I am giving too much away when I tell you things work out well for Ruth. She embraces her new life, she embraces a new people, and she seizes the moments of opportunity that come her way. She marries again and has a son. And through that son, Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of David. And David, as we all know, becomes Israel's greatest king. So much can be achieved when we too have the courage, the faith, and the love to reach out across the cultural divides that shape our world. We have much to learn from those who speak differently, worship differently, love differently, live differently, and see the world differently. 60 years ago, President John F. Kennedy reminded us that in the final analysis, our most basic human link, common link, is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future. And we are all mortal. My life has been richly blessed through such friendships. And through them, I have grown to understand God's purpose more deeply. The cultural divides that we seek to reach across are created by humans. They are not of God. The greatest king Israel ever knew had an outsider as a great-grandmother. God calls us to see not what divides us, but what unites us. God calls us to see in the other the divine spark. If we can do that, then there is no limit to what we can achieve. True friendships can be built on the foundations of understanding, respect, and love. And from such foundations, we can build a world of peace, justice, and equality. A world that can be filled with joy, hope, and love. And why would we not reach out to one another? For is this not the world that God wills us to create? Amen.
Will you rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn?